Hello, this is Jerry.
It's Kornheiser. What can I do for you?
I've been waiting, now at long last, Mr. Tony has joined this podcast. I don't know the reason. Maybe his meds expired. What's left to do now? I guess I'm through now. Retire.
Welcome to the TK Jingles Weekly Podcast for August 20th, 2015. I am your host, Jerry Negrelli, and after 73 episodes, Tony Kornheiser will be joining us today. So as I mentioned there in the opener, I may as well retire. I don't know how much more meta we can get than this, and I'm really not sure where we're going to go from here. So for those of you joining for the first time, what the heck is the TK Jingles Podcast? Well, that horrible name comes from the fact that I don't have a lot of money for this, and I used some Kickstarter funds to outsource the logo design to Southeast Asia. They made a typo that was so ridiculous that I decided to keep it after some feedback from the Littles, so it's no longer a podcast, it is a prodcast. The show itself is an unofficial companion show to the Tony Kornheiser Show. It comes out every Thursday. It's not a superfan show. I'm not going to sit around comparing notes about what Tony had for breakfast like all those shows on Sirius Radio about Howard Stern. But what we will do is feature some of the best new material from Tony's show and from DKJingles.com. As you all know, Tony only does three or four shows a week, so a lot of content is overlooked, and this is where you can hear it. In fact, a lot of new jingles debut on the podcast weeks before they're heard on Tony's show, so it's also a great place just to hear some of the funny new material. So the podcast is mostly about the music, but we'll occasionally feature guests like Gary Braun, Kevin Sheehan, John Jr. Feinstein, Courtney the Goddess, Chuck Bell, and many more. And the best part of the podcast is that it really is a community effort. So in lieu of an interview sometimes, we'll often feature guest hosting slots by other Littles. So Joe Arrow, KJ Onstad, Patrick Moffitt. A lot of the folks that you're familiar with from Tony's show have done some great segments on this podcast. So as I mentioned, this is the 73rd episode. You can go back in the archives on iTunes or on Stitcher, listen to a whole lot of other content. And if you like what you hear, you can join the conversation, podcast@tkjingles.com. You can tweet me at Jerry Negrelli, or you can like the TK Jingles Facebook page to leave feedback. If you're a first-time listener, I'd love to hear your feedback. Today's show is going to be a little bit different because we have Tony. We're going to really just be very Tony-centric. And while this is a show about TK Jingles, you'd think it is always Tony-centric, but today is going to be really Tony-centric. All right, so today's show, we're going to start with a Tony Kornheiser interview, and we're going to weave some jingles amidst that. One of the great benefits of taping this show is that I can go back and add things to the conversation. As I've often suggested to Nigel, if you have a topic coming up, please let me know a few days in advance. We could really spice that up instead of just being in the mailbag. It always seems to fall on deaf ears, though. But anyway, we'll play the Tony interview and some songs related to that. Then we're going to have a big segment of some of the best jingles that are really just about Tony and his foibles, about his laziness or about his cheapness or how he's asking for free things or how he's a difficult, ornery guy. And then we're going to go into the mailbag. And folks, believe it or not, send in emails, send in tweets and likes and comments on the Facebook page. And we like to read that here on this podcast. So it really is a community-driven show, and I hope you like it. Send me your feedback. Now, as Christopher Metzler said on the TK Jingles Facebook page this week, it's getting meta in here.
It's getting meta, I will lie. I talked to an angry old man.
Boy, can he complain
about his retirement plans.
Boy, can he complain.
Next to Gary Braun, Tony came on. This is meta. Booking Tony, that's a wow.
He's back September 1st.
And even though it's just too meta, let's do it. Let's start it now.
All right, so let's just go ahead and get started. Basically, the podcast, it's a weekly show. We do a Thursday show because Thursday shows are always the hardest.
They are the hardest shows.
So you've been off now about 6 weeks or so.
Been off from radio for about 6 weeks and have concentrated when I can on playing golf in the mornings if it's been nice. I'd say twice a week I've done that. Yeah.
Now the 2 month hiatus that you take, I think that probably started as a forced thing, but From a fan's perspective, it seems like that's kind of actually a good thing to help sustain the show. What do you think about that?
I haven't given it a whole lot of thought in terms of what it means to the show. If it creates interest for the fall, you know, that's a good thing. I'm sure that I lose some people completely because they say, where is this guy in July and August? And I mean, I understand that. But at my age, doing two jobs for 12 months is very debilitating. And you know, I have a number of shows on television and a number of shows on radio that I do. And when I hit that number, I usually say, okay, that's enough. I don't know if it creates interest or if it depletes interest. I don't know. I do know that usually by the measuring devices of ratings, when we come back in September, by mid to late October, we're sort of back pretty good. I mean, people find the show again, and if they liked it, the great aspect of the show in terms of continuity is that with very few exceptions, most of the guests are the same. Most of the members of the club are the same. And so if you liked them before, you will like them again. The only real major addition over the last 2 years is Chris Saliza. Everybody else, you know, they know if we have a legal problem, we're going to go to Abby. And they know if we have politics, we're going to go to Howard. And they know if we have economics, we'll go to Bar Bash. And we were looking around for another television person. You know, they know if it's movies, we're going to go to Ann or Arch. And so there's a familiarity to it that allows people to get right back in. If they felt they missed it, mm-hmm. they can get right back in a hurry without, oh my God, who's this?
You know, yeah, you're not reinventing it every time.
Right.
There was a link that was sent out this morning on BuzzFeed, I think, listing your podcast as one of the top 30 podcasts you must listen to. I thought it was so funny because
it's not even on.
It's not even
not
on.
New yet. So. But you can catch up. I mean, yeah. Without trying to sound unbearably pretentious, I always thought that I wanted a show like the shows that I listened to when I was very, very young in New York that were, you know, like The Breakfast Club with Don McNeil. The notion that there was this club and it didn't cost anything to get in. And once you got in, if you could sort of understand references to past things, you were completely in, and the show was for you. That it was an open culture, but you know, but it had the sort of trappings of the conviviality of a breakfast club. So that's what I tried to make it, and I think it succeeded. And I mean, I define it often as an adult talk show, and I think that's what it is.
Go, Tony. Name the rascals like it's 1970. You can name the rascals. Their names never change, so you can name the rascals. I'm not sure what it proves to us that you can name the rascals. The fact I know you know this puts me in the club. You crush your enemies and you're getting free grub. You're at a right angle when you're laying in the tub. I'm tracking the minutiae your life comprised of. Getting ready for a flight, taking anxiolytic drugs. Listen to relaxation tracks through your earbuds. June's 36 pants are getting kind of snug. Wishes with lots of holes is tastier than none. I download the podcast, it's 12:15, from a digital clubhouse on 980. There's a litany of passwords and secret handshakes. It's epic and classic, a veritable earthquake. Left, left, right, 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 left. Driving on Connecticut, a tricycle up ahead. Going 15 miles an hour during a morning commute. Pull around and give him the Mr. Tony salute. How much can he bench press? It's hard to say when he's doing bicep curls with 8-pound weight. His son Michael is a golfer, handicap is a 2. And he can tell you why your saurians are rational dude. He buys a shirt at Lord and Taylor, then he's taking it back. We send him crack, pepper, triscuits, you can rack that snack. He goes back to Lord and Taylor and he shuffles around with a...
And it's been improved enormously by the music that all of you people have done. I mean, I know that I say this so often that it probably sounds like I'm saying it by rote, but it's thrilling. If the music is thrilling. And I don't know that there are any shows out there that have the sort of back and forth between listeners and regulars that this show has. I know we don't take phone calls, but we certainly take emails and we certainly take songs and we certainly refer to them time and time and time again. So I've never really liked calls, never really liked those. I mean, I sort of feel they're paying me to do the show, not my callers, you know.
Yeah, well, the so this podcast is not, it's not like a super fan show or anything where we obsessively talk about you. It really is more about the music that obsessively references you. But I've gotten a lot of questions over the last few weeks, or a lot of tweets from various folks, where they'll see a story in the news or something's going on and say, God, I wonder what Tony thinks about this, or I really wish that show was back right now so we could hear about this. With your downtime right now, is there anything across sports, politics, entertainment that you really kind of wish you had that vehicle to talk about right now?
I think that when you do a daily talk show, you always wish you were on every single day, you know, because something comes up every day. I mean, the show is what happened to me and you and we in the past 24 hours. That's what the show is. That's what it always is. But there are certain things that are going to be lasting. I mean, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the Nationals and the enormous disappointment that I feel in them. I'm talking about taking Gary Braun to the member guest at Rehoboth Beach. And we'll certainly talk when Nigel gets back from Alaska about Nigel's insane trip to Alaska. And we will talk about if there's a dominant story. I mean, if there's a dominant news story, I don't really care that much about it. But there's the dominant story of the summer is Trump, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be around for a while. You know, I mean, nobody needs to know what I think about Trump today. He's not going anywhere. And I'm not going to go on and on and on about the Iran nuclear. I don't know anything about that. When I'm away, I don't listen all that much to the news. I watch the Nats, but I don't watch all the sports all the time until I have to go back to PTI. I don't have anything. There's nothing. I can tell you that there's nothing that burns in me to talk about, but I can also tell you the day that I go back on the radio, there will be. You know, because I know the rhythm of the show. I know
sure.
that when it's my turn to get in front of the microphone, I'm going to have taken notes on something that happened within the last 2 days. I mean, I'll tell the story of how I felt, you know, completely gypped at Lord & Taylor when I went to buy a jacket off the 70% clearance rack, and they told me, oh, that didn't belong on the clearance rack. And I said, really? Because there's about 8 of these jackets right here on this rack. Oh, well, we shouldn't have them there. Oh, well, then why are they there?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
So when are you coming back? September 8th, the Tuesday after Labor Day?
No, 1, September 1.
September 1, okay.
September 1's a Tuesday, right?
Yes, it is.
September 1.
Okay.
That's my contract year starts September 1st.
Oh, great.
I'll come back September 1st. It's not, I mean, I'll take Labor Day off because Labor Day's off, but no, September 1. You gotta count the shows. And if there's an audience, you know, in radio lately, isn't the audience when the audience wants to listen?
Oh yeah, with the advent of podcasts and everything.
Isn't it really when people want it? And can't they even go back? I mean, if they like the show, can't they even go back a couple of years if they want?
Yeah, so I did an interview with Chuck Bell a couple of weeks ago.
Chuck Bell, the great Chuck Bell.
The great
Forecast
Chuck Bell.
For you.
And Chuck Bell, he has never listened to your show once, but he has many friends who have and constantly give him a hard time about it.
I hope they do. I have to tell him about how annoying it is that he slobbers over, like, bad weather. It excites him.
Well, yeah, well, I was able to go back and I found the episode from 5 years ago where you first introduced your audience to Chuck Bell during that big blizzard of 2009-2010 to play that clip.
Well, he was happy. Happy we're being inundated with snow.
One of the things that Chuck said is that, you know, it's okay to get forecasts a little bit wrong because, quote, no one lives at the airport. What do you think about that?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
If he tells you it's 92 and it's 89, well, you know, maybe it was 92 at the airport. Who cares? You know, it's close enough.
If you're asking me would I rather be right than wrong, I would say yes. I would rather be right than wrong. I don't know what it means. Nobody lives at the airport. I mean, a lot of people depend on the weather when they're traveling and they need to know. I think that weather people, by and large, have a very high percentage of getting it wrong. And I don't mind if they get it wrong as long as they don't tell me they got it right when I remember what they said. You know, I pay attention to Kierine and Bell and Kammerer, and I don't think they're any different from the ones on 5 and 9 and 7. you know, I just happen to watch four. I mean, Bell is, you know, Bell also does this other thing where Bell's a runner, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's like a marathon runner. And Bell's always talking about, it's a great day to go out for 10 miles. I mean, how many people are doing that? Most of us are driving 10. We're not running 10.
So, yeah,
but God bless Chuck Bell is my position, my official position.
God bless Chuck Bell. All right.
Yeah. Do you know his vanity plates are forecast for you?
No.
Yeah. He's got vanity plates.
Nice.
Anyway.
Don't think I'll tell you the many thoughts I'd like to say, but listen up, I'll share my insights after Labor Day. You think the gnats stink and Donald Trump is huge and dumb. I'm paid for yakking, I'll keep mum. Then once I finally speak my mind, well, I'll repeat that 14 times. It's a confusing thing.
All right, so you mentioned the Nationals. Right now, they're about 2.5 games back of the Mets. You feeling good about that?
No. No, they haven't been good at all lately. They have been terrible since the All-Star break, just terrible. No, I'm not feeling good about it. I think they burned out their bullpen. I don't think they have any reliable bullpen people, actually.
Well, they just brought in Papelbon, right?
Yeah, but they got to get to him in the ninth. They haven't been in the lead in the ninth often enough to suit me. They haven't been. So, no, I've agonized with them.
Do you think they got a shot at the wild card right now?
No, I think they have a shot at the division. I think that all the wild cards are going to come out of the Central, because it looks like right now that St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs are actually the best three teams in the National League. The Nationals probably going to have to win the division, probably going to have to beat the Mets. I know they have a series with the Mets in early September here. I just think that that they take too much for granted. That they believe that they're great, but they don't show that they're great. They just believe that they're great.
Yeah, Yahoo Sports had an article about that today where Bryce and several of the guys were interviewed saying that they feel good about where they are right now. They're in striking distance and everything's on track.
They should be 10 games up.
Yeah.
They should be 10 games up. You know, yeah, you can rationalize and say, I feel good where we are because we're not out of it, but they should be way ahead.
Nats are tanking, sadly. Yeah, they're losing badly. Used to love their ways. Sure, we're hot in May. Williams managed badly. Made the Mets their daddy. Bullpen's a disgrace. That division title's walking out the door. That's the kind of thing that Matt should answer for. Rizzo loved his ways. Here's what the fans say. We would love to see Matt walking out the door. Lost fans love. Turn in your glove. Let's dispose of. He needs a shove. Playoff chance is gone. So let's pass the baton. Can salvage this team. Williams' instincts seem to be off the mark.
The golden tickets to heaven story. Did you know that that was made up?
No.
It's devastating. We're devastated.
That was made up? The one that Kevin first reported?
It was, yeah. A viral news story. Just in the last few weeks, it's come out that it was all fake.
Oh, well, I don't know. Is that our job? Is our job to check every single story? Many times we say things like, boy, that doesn't sound real at all. You know, I really doubt that guy swam 53 miles. It just doesn't seem reasonable to me. But most of these things come on a variety of news wires, and they're accepted by people along the way, and nobody ever confused Kevin with Walter Cronkite. So just, you know, the motto of our show, if there was a motto, would just be from the great musical Gypsy, let us entertain you, let us make you smile.
I'll crush my enemies who are all dead to me, guaranteed to make you smile. It's just a simple show, and it works best, you know, when I'm hostile and verbal. So let me entertain you. The alternative is so much worse. Yes, sir, I'm back. September 1st.
So, switch topics here, just the radio. You're coming back September 1st.
Yep.
How long do you plan to keep doing this?
As long as people pay me to talk, which I would do anyway. I'm going to do it. If my health is good, I'm going to do it. I like it. I really enjoy it. So I don't have a closing date. Now, it's not going to be up to me. It never is. It's up to somebody else. You don't get renewed, you get fired, something happens, nobody picks you up, and you end up, you know, in front of the browseabout outdoors for $5 a week. And that's what happens, but as long as somebody wants to pay me to talk, I'm probably going to do it. And is that any different than Don Imus or Rush Limbaugh or and these other guys that seem to go on forever? Is it really? I don't think it's any different.
Yeah, well, some people plan, you know, an exit strategy or whatever. But I do think that the station's tone towards you has noticeably been different recently.
Really? What is it?
The promos around the show are typically... Well, actually, just for the station, or ESPN 980, the home of Tony Kornheiser and some other guys.
Oh, really? Well, that's great.
Yeah. So the tenor has changed.
Well, that's nice. You know, there's a new program director, Dan Zampillo. Hey. Maybe he has something to do with that.
Have you guys met?
Yeah, I've met him. We've chatted a number of times. Yeah, he's a very likable guy, Dan Zampillo. Dan, the program man. Yeah, very likable.
Does your radio persona differ than your TV persona or your print persona?
Yeah, they're all, yes. The one that is most truly you is going to come out in long form radio. There's no question about that. When you write, you are writing, you are editing, you are revising, you're taking a particular tone and trying to appear a certain way. It's not unnatural, but it's not fully natural. When you're on television, you have to be very aware of hogging the microphone and things like that, and it's visual medium, and so you have to appear, you want to try to appear a certain way, and that's not necessarily 100% natural. When you're doing the radio and nobody's watching you and you're with a bunch of friends and you do it for a couple of hours at a time, you've been in the radio, you see what it's like. Mm-hmm. That's sort of who we are. Radio is who you are, I think. Not if you're a DJ, but if you're doing a talk show, a familiar talk show, radio is pretty much who you are.
PTI, you've been doing that about 15 years now?
Yeah, 14.
How did the pitch for that show first come together?
ESPN was being run by Mark Shapiro. He was the program director at the time, and he knew that ESPN had a lot of people who did home run calls, and people were given a certain amount of freedom, but he didn't have any opinion shows. There were really no opinion shows, and he wanted an opinion show because he had grown up in a smart house where people watched on Sundays to all the talk shows, the opinion shows, which is one of the reasons he wanted to set it in Washington, D.C., because that was the home of, you know, Meet the Press and Face the Nation and all of those sorts of shows, which was very fortunate for Wilbon and for me, because we came to mind right away. We'd done a lot of work for ESPN prior to that. And he just wanted a straight-out opinion show, and he created the show. He was the one who said that Mike and I would do the show. That's the way I understand it.
Okay, so they sought you out?
Well, we had been doing, you know, we fit all, we checked off all the boxes. We were sports journalists. We worked for a major paper. We lived in a major city. We had opinions on everything because we wrote columns. We didn't cover a particular team, and therefore we're not, unable to talk about other sports. We sort of had a wide general knowledge. So it made all the sense in the world. And we'd done a lot of work for ESPN. So he knew us. He had a sense of us on television. I mean, there was an opinion show. It was the sports reporters that Dick Schaap was hosting, but that was weekly, not daily. He didn't have a daily. I should make sure I say that correctly. He didn't have a daily opinion show, and he wanted one. And he and Jim Cohen created Pardon the Interruption.
How are those first few shows? Because when I've seen you in the studio, it's almost like you do one take and you're good.
We were pretty good from the start. I mean, again, Mike and I had both done the sports reporters a number of times. I had done a lot of commentary on ESPN2 with Feinstein, John Feinstein, in a little episodes, small little episodes called The Wise Guys. I mean, so we'd done a lot of television. The only thing that I recall from the beginning, and I don't even remember if we did practice shows, maybe we did, I don't recall. But I recall that Mike thought we were going too fast from topic to topic, that we should have more give and take, that we should sort of sit back and consider what we were saying and have more thoughtful opinions. And I said, I don't think so. I think this fast stuff, I think the kids are going to like it.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah, and they did.
Changed the whole network, I think, with that program.
Yeah, well, that's all Eric Rideholm. I mean, he's the guy who came up with the format. He's the guy who put in all the games. He's the guy who put in the bells and the whistles, Eric Rideholm, the genius producer from Brown University. So he gets all the credit. Mike and I were just, I don't want to say just as if we had nothing to do with it. Mike and I drove the car, but we didn't build the car. Mm-hmm. We didn't build it. Eric Rideholm built the car. Eric Rideholm and Matt Kelleher and Jim Cohen, they built the car.
And PTI, they've really stepped up their social media game lately.
Yeah, that's all Serafina. That's Eric thinking that we needed to do that because Mike and I have no idea what social media is. And so we hired this young woman named Serafina, and she's great. Although I'm sure she's going to get me fired.
Do you have any plans to join the Facebook or the Twitter? I mean, maybe in the last year of your contract, just go out with a bang?
Can't. No. No, when my contract's over, I'll get on and I'll start crushing people. But not now. Not while I'm being paid. You cannot jeopardize the payments.
Maybe the last week.
And I know who I am. I would be hostile. I would be hostile. As Doc Walker would say, I'd be hostile and verbile. That's what I would be.
Are you somebody who holds grudges or something? You don't strike me as that kind of person.
Can't imagine. Okay. We did some time. You got any more?
What's that? Oh, you talking to me, Tony?
Sitting in my office, I wait patiently for an interview. Gary said Tony will call you. His phone number's not for the likes of you. Phone rings, it's Tony, prepared for the worst. He's gonna leave halfway through. Well, that's hardly a first. He went golfing, then more golf. Sounds like it's all he's done. Played around with Wilbon and the president. I'll bet that was fun. He won't give details. Maybe some other time. Abruptly says goodbye. Check the box, helped you out. Your time's up, Jerry. We did some time. Gotta stop you right there, cause this is boring. We did some time. I would love to do more, but not really. We did some time. I'd rather do something else and enjoy my vacation. We did some time. We did some time. We did some time. We
Tony Cowden. He's on this podcast now. Is there a sex tape involved? That's gotta be how. Tony Cowden, he's really on the show. When Jared thought he botched it, his blood almost froze. Tony Cowden, is he really just bored? Tired of golfing and browsing the bookstore. Tony Cowden, wait, was I really him? Nigel can do American impressions, I hear. The new season's coming, summer's at an end. Meltdowns expected about the Nets and Williams. Epic rants building about Trump and Chuck Bell. But if you want Tony's opinions, well, you'll have to tune in September.
All right. I hope you enjoy that, everybody. If you like the behind-the-scenes discussion of how this interview came to be, you can listen to last week's episode of the TK Jingles broadcast. It's been about 7 or 8 minutes kind of walking through everything that led up to this moment. Big thank you to Gary Braun for making that interview possible. And of course, huge, huge, huge thank you and gratitude to Tony Kornheiser for joining the broadcast. I kid about the abruptness of how it ended, but Tony was so generous with his time, and it really was a lot of fun to do it. I hope you all enjoyed it, and maybe we can do it again someday. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to the littles that helped fill in the tracks there between the interview slots. Rob, Brad Weiss, John Fitzpatrick, and Jason Fuse for coming up with some very timely short turnaround jingles to help make the interview into that mishmash of music and words that you heard there. Now we're going to transition to some music. So I wanted to start with the Tony Zahn with Negrelli jingle that Joe Arrow put together that I wasn't able to work into that segment there. I think it's mostly about Tony. It's got a nice little shout out to me in this discussion at the end that I thought was very nice. Then a brand new jingle I put together yesterday called Famous. It's my ode to Tony's middling fame. Then John Fitzpatrick with Ape Man, Brad Weiss with Let It Be, my ode to Tony's laziness called Lazy Back, and then Rob with If You Bid at Auction. And we're going to break this into two segments because there's just so much material, but all these songs are kind of about the same thing, just Tony's Toniness. Enjoy.
At a little outpost on the other side of Rehoboth, where he plays bocce ball and he does all that old rich guy fun stuff. By the sink, he's boiling some eggs, chugging wine and toasting fillets. And we all wish we knew if he thinks the Nationals are through. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's old and he's grumpy and he knows old songs, so orange and so bald. And now he's all with Negrelli. This shouldn't take long. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I'm famous, but not as famous as I want to be. I still scare away celebrities. Don't they watch PTI? And I'm working, even though I'm almost 83. I'm not leaving till they fire me. And I think I've earned that right. You know, you'd think by now I'd have more repute. I'm on TV in every bar, although I'm always on mute. I spent 3 long years calling football games. How does Anna Kendrick not know my name? Don't you know who I am? I'm famous, so I'm allowed to be a total jerk to a puny little hotel clerk. I'll never reap what I sow. I'm famous, but not as famous as I ought to be. George Costanza played me on TV on a pretty awful show. I'm famous.
He thinks he's sophisticated, like to live his life like a character from Mad Men. But all around him, everyone is so much younger, got the Twitter and the Instagram. For sure the show's better than the other guys yakking on the wacky morning zoo, man. Gonna boost those ratings with some help from Serafina. He is an old man. Orange, bald, and pixelated, not so easy on the eyes. PTI is an HD man. The show's a mix of his vexation, affirmation, and frustration. Uses words as ammunition. He don't feel safe on the bridge to the shore. Sure he's gonna die if he shovels no more. His sweater vest predate the Vietnam War. He's such an old man. He's an old man, he's an old, old man. TK's an old man. He loves a good song, man, but not a moose can. Still, he's an old man. Sunglasses save him from the sun and the sky. He berates all the cyclists as they roll by. He endures all this grief from you and I. We kid because we love man. La 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 la.
When I hear him once more ask Beluga, will the orchid still pitch here? Can't he drop the subject? Let it be. And when he tells us how Dwight Howard is a guy who kills his team, nothing new to see here. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, is he kidding? Let it be. Please just change the topic. Let it be. Again he asks if there is a commissioner who lives and breathes. Where have we heard this one? Let it be. Ask 12 times, expect a new reply. That's the definition of insanity. You've already heard the answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh dear God, please let it be.
Oh, it's almost noon. I'm so tired. Oh, I'm bringing lazy back. Meh. I hate to shop, so please send me snacks. Meh. My friends and family give me so much flack. Cause I give new meaning to kicking back.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't try to cross the bridge.
TK, work for 3 hours and then you get paid. Most of us would call that a half day. And yet you still find reasons to complain.
I can't take any more of this.
Get your lazy out.
No way.
You need to know that this could be a nightmare. Leave your stupid kid home with a babysitter. Don't offer tips or comment on his putter. He's not bad, he's just a high volume shooter. If you bid at auction 18 holes of golfing, that could be a big mistake. In the cart with Michael, almost homicidal, giant divots in his wake.
All right, now it's always hard to have Rob follow you because he's always so funny. Now we're going to have six more songs here about Tony. Downtown by Elliot Oshansky and Joe Arrow. Have I Told You Lately That I Had That by KJ. Money for Nothing by me. He Loves Answering Questions by Rob again. And a duet I did with Joe Arrow, A Difficult Man, about Tony's parking garage situation. And then Geezer Taz with Orange Tinted Jew. And then we're going into the TK Jingles mailbag.
When there is snow and you're not skipping the show, well, you can always go downtown. When you are fixing to go dine with Bill Simmons, you can do the show downtown. is from the folks at Bagel City. You stay at the Mayflower so you won't get a pity. Thanks, ABC. You got to eat, go to Comey. Surprise all the littles who thought you'd stay home. You went downtown. Don't miss the show, cause you're downtown. Walk out the back door downtown. May made it easy for you.
Have I told you lately that I had that? Have I told you there's no one else who had that? Just in case you missed it, I'll tell you once more I picked it. It's no trouble, that's what I do. And when I'm on PTI, Wilbon tries to deny what I've done. Have I told you that I believe I had that?
I want some shit for free.
Look at here, people. This is how you do it. When you're on the radio and TV, I ain't working. There ain't nothing to this. I don't pay for nothing. All my shit's for free. I hate working, but even I can do it. Let me tell you, this guy ain't dumb. I ain't ashamed to ask for anything. Today I want some 1950s chewing gum. Nice cuts of meat for my toaster oven. And Orphan Black on DVD. I missed episodes 9 and 10 now. And I wanna watch them both for free.
Don't pay for nothing. And my shit's all free.
Don't pay for nothing.
And my shit's all free.
I like that, I like that.
Don't pay for nothing. My shit's all free.
My shit for free.
That's
don't
swag,
pay
baby.
For nothing.
Oh yeah.
And my all shit's right, all like free.
He likes answering questions, trivia questions. It's an a special blast when he pulls one out of his. Loves answering questions, trivia questions. When his close friends can't keep pace, he rubs it in their face. I am killing you people. He gleefully exclaims he's not satisfied until they're psychologically maimed. He drifts off Jeannie's answers when it suits him well. When she does the same, in return he gives her hell. Kevin tries to answer questions nobody asked, because he's smart enough to know he's hopelessly outmatched. Satch wants extra credit for going first. He wants extra all the time, never gonna quench that thirst. He loves answering questions, trivia questions. This is probably all he'll do when 90 fires him too. Loves answering questions, trivia questions. When his close friends can't keep pace, he rubs it in their face.
Some people say that it's not a big deal when you have to pay $5 to park. Most people know that it's common sense to carry at least one credit card. Most people hate just to wait in a line while an old man counts up his change. And though I know it's 2014, my God, don't you know who I am?
I am
a different
much hair when I was a kid, and the meanest thing that my parents did was to buy me a wig that was so cheaply made. My skin began to get permanently stained because the color ran every time it rained. Well, life wasn't easy for an orange-tinted Jew. Oh, people laughed. He won't amount to much with thinning hair, orange skin, and such. So my parents sent me off to journalism school. I chose a career of the written word, the penis mightier than the sword. I may be orange, but I'm certainly no fool. I added wit and wisdom to my style, got sarcastic every once in a while. I tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Then radio and TV started to beckon, and the rest is history, or so I reckon. Mr. Tony's on the air to this very day. Every now and then my mind will wander, and I look back and begin to ponder on a thing I missed that I really wanted to do. I'd find that smelly hairpiece rug, infest it with some kind of bug, wrap it up in a box and send it to Raju.
He'll read your name on his podcast, Littles. Here's all you have got to do. Send in your thoughts to Jerry. Maybe write an iTunes store review. His apps are running on smartphones. Mad skills he has shown. They're out on Androids and Apples. Did you know Windows made a phone? Just write to him. Here's where he'll read your name.
Thank you, John. I'd like to start with a review from the iTunes store about this podcast from Fred Andolini. He says, I like this podcast because it's smart and funny. That's right, smart, not dumb like everybody says it is. Then we have a note here from Claire. She says, I just got to thank you. I'm having a really sucky week, and today I listened to the latest podcast during a drive from Baltimore to Philly. Your take on Uptown Funk at the end of the show totally made me smile, and for a few moments my spirit lifted. I actually skipped back and listened to it twice more. Thanks for the jolt of happiness. And that was an uncredited demo from the end of last week's episode that was written by Mike and Burke. So I don't know if I'll ever finish it. I don't quite have the chops to pull off Bruno Mars, but I gave it a shot. I've got a demo there. I'm glad at least one person got a kick out of it. Maybe if I get more feedback, I'll revisit it someday. Then we have some notes here about this episode of the podcast. Some folks wrote in notes. Brian Lee says, I'm looking forward to it, and tell Feynman to get off Uranus. Scott Cranfield says about getting Tony on the show, that's a wow, a good get, as they say in the business. And by business, I mean industry. And then we have some nice notes here just about the podcast. Cold Hollow Photo says, we're all so glad that you and your band of merry music makers do what you do. Thanks. Christopher Schenk, it is preposterously heartwarming to know that there is this tribe of people around the world. Together, we are weird. And then Christopher Newland, listening to last week's episode. I just listened to the Day the Podcast Died extended edition by Elliot Oshansky. It is a must listen for all TK Littles. And if you haven't heard it, Elliot wrote an 8.5 minute version of American Pie based on the Day the Delay Died, a jingle that I've done a couple of times. Now we've done the full extended, full length version. When I agreed to do it, I assumed it was like a 3 minute long song, not realizing that American Pie has like 7 refrains. So it's pretty damn funny. Elliot did an awesome job. All right, folks, if you've listened this far, I appreciate your joining the conversation and being a part of this. You can email me podcast@tkjingles.com if you have feedback or you'd like to hear something else on the show. Next week is going to be a very special episode. It's going to be all Billy Joel stuff. So I know that's just a small segment, but there are some brilliant, brilliant Billy Joel parodies. It's one of my favorite artists, so I really am excited about doing that one. Even if you're just a casual Billy Joel fan like Claire, I think you'll get a kick out of it. And then after that, Tony's back. So we will keep this show going and feature shows that feature songs that are about what's happening on his show. The summer's almost over, folks. September 1st, Tony's back. I hope you keep listening. Thank you.
You're 15 minutes. And Jerry, I mean that in more ways than one.
yeah, yeah, yeah. What if you had syphilis? 'Cause you f***ed the goddess and you didn't pay taxes, you'd be just like Al Capone, dying in a cell alone. What a lousy way to go. And no one ever uses the phone.
All right. Thanks again, Tony, for taking the time.
Okay, Jerry. Thank you. Bye.